Hi guys, you are listening to Moon Talk Radio, and it's Gray Del Martez Harris, and I'm getting into part two of Gray, the acronym, and what it means. So sorry I got a little cut off there. I'm learning about Anchor, and I think these segments go at the most an hour, and I'm going to try to keep them down to shorter, but this concept and this episode, these two, one and two, are really the spine of my being right now and are pushing me forward with Moon Talk Radio as well. It's all connected and together, really. Gray, Girls Really Are Yearning, and the nonprofit organization, and Moon Talk Radio as well are kind of like sisters, not twins, right? So we ended part one with seeing mommy cry, knowing mommy is stressed out as a child. And which is like, it's not black and white in that sense, because usually children are not privy to their parents' stresses in that way. They might be worried about their parents' stresses in the contexts of each other. Mommy and daddy were fighting downstairs, and I'm worried that they're going to split up. You know, mommy and daddy are together, or they aren't together, or this, that, and the other. It's not black and white, it's gray. There are a lot of different contexts that you can look at in these forms, in these formats. And so just having a Cancer moon, if you study the planets, that empathy, just naturally being the mom, being emotional, understanding, trying to figure out where I could help mom, where I could alleviate some type of stress for mommy, just because she's got to get another job and she's only her. And, you know, these are just the natural instincts inside of me. Also, my mom was very close to me. She was like my best friend at the time. I didn't have a lot of outlets. My sister's father died when she was one. And so she had a whole nother outlet, you know? And so in that context, she was gone. And so I understand that whole being an only child kind of energy, and also sharing things, because those are two different concepts. Someone who's an only child, and I've had a lot of friends who are only child, and then I have a lot of friends who come from big families, and those types of things systematically core-wise, primitively, they really set up certain foundations for your need of survival, your root chakra, what your basis is, your fight or flight, like that type of stuff. From an earlier age. So, you know, now I'm staying with my mom in North Carolina. And in North Carolina, I decide that I'm going to be this actor, and then we audition for North Carolina School of the Arts. But before that, there was a story that was magical there between me and my mother that drove me. All of these things, because the relationship of with me and my mom is what drives the nonprofit organization and the whole single mother empowerment. This is something that is very important to me as far as what Gray really is standing for there. Yes, it's the LGBTQ. Yes, it's the transitioning. But more importantly, it is about women, feminism, equality, and why my mother needed more support, and why I feel like society failed her in certain aspects, and therefore failed me in certain aspects. And so these are the things, now that I'm getting older, that empower me to help the community when I speak from the heart and I tell it like it is. And so now I was popular in high school, and before that, I had lost my friend to suicide, Tara, and we used to do after-school stuff together a lot, and set crew, and lighting crew, and we liked the same boy, Brett. Yeah, it's, well, I was just, she liked him, and then she would ask me a lot. I think she knew, but I didn't know myself, you know, and she'd be like, don't you think he's cute, and this, that, and the other, you know. Girls are very intuitive, you know, and And I'd be like, oh, well, yeah, he's gay or whatever. And so that was our thing to do, to talk about how cute he was. And then during Thanksgiving, yeah, she ended up hanging herself in the garage. And it was a very traumatizing thing for me. It was a very hard thing for me at that time because my mother could not do anything in that time to console, really to fix that. Like, she was there or whatever for me. But I think as a parent, you know, it's like if anything that happens to your child, you know, if they lose a limb or they get sick or something happens to them, or a sort of accident, and you're not in control or you're not there, there's just that feeling of not being able to just take it away, take this boo-boo away, or take this to resolve this thing. And it was a grievance. And then later, 2 years later, I actually went through another similar situation, which we'll get to probably in another later. So, staying on track, I'm doing the UNCSA audition, right? I go, I land it. I have to tell Cheryl Prater that I'm leaving, and we have a award ceremony where we can, you know, I get to perform with the seniors, because usually the seniors are leaving high school, they're going off to college, you know, the parents, everyone that's been watching them for 4 years, and I remember when you were in this, and then when they did Grease, and when we did Godspell, and all of this stuff. So this is very nostalgic. It's the end of the year. The end of the year is closing. It's like May. And I get a chance to perform a solo that I choreographed on my own, using the music from Save the Last Dance. And it was like, you know, kind of the same context with the black and the chair and all that and my own choreography. And I got to say goodbye to everyone and I got to choreograph and do this dance where I was the only person who got a standing ovation that night, right? Which someone later told me, which I mentioned, I did the podcast earlier and then it got cut off. So I'm rewinding with things. And I want to mention that again because Jamie Nicole was my first girlfriend and she was LGBTQ. She's actually lesbian and has been in a committed relationship with this woman for years. But it's just interesting that when you're young, you find each other, you find your people just naturally. Like, she was my quote unquote first girlfriend. But then we actually were seeing something deeper inside of ourselves. And we felt comfortable with each other in eighth grade to be able to have that type of relationship with each other. And so it just is interesting that how that played itself out. But so I did my dance and afterwards I got the standing ovation. And then I was outside and everybody was thanking me, basically. You know, it was like the parents were thanking me and they were like, you are so good and I have to get a jelly on it. Oh my God. And my mom was like a moth, like on the wall, you know. And then I just remember her watching me and then like going back and going into the car with her. And she couldn't even start the car. She just kind of looked at me. She burst into tears and she just, you know, she just said, I'm so proud of you and I just love you so much. You and Nia, she said, both of us, you know, she said, I'm so proud of both of you. And she was just, I could just feel that pride and love. And I felt that in many different times from her. She's amazing. And we have that relationship. And she just cried and I could just see that was, you know, she was just thinking so many different things about, oh, if I've known, oh, no, what I could do more. And that's that yearning of loving your children and wishing the best for them and always wanting them to develop and do more. And, you know, that whole energy of just Excelsior in general, which is very New York, just wanting to keep going and going and going and pushing to the highest is just within me. I come from that. I come from my mother's that way. My grandfather's that way. And so it's just natural for me to just want to keep pushing. And it was just so beautiful for her to be able to see that. And that was a prelude to going to UNCSA and going for acting. And, you know, shout out to everyone there and Gerald Freeman, which was an amazing, 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 amazing person who influenced my life, director of Hair. And we just lost last year, 2020. Also, Bessida, all of you guys, love you all. Ben Fury, Tanya Beloff, Jacqueline Maddox. That school Kirtan Koan, Tai Chi, astrology, the palmistry that I started to study during that period of time, that was all preparing me for Moon Talk Radio later in the future. Even while I was in school there, going to New Orleans, getting the palmistry readings at the St. Louis Cathedral, coming back, being the seer that I am, and the perspective that I was having. And it was a rarity for me to get in. It was the first year of free tuition for high schoolers, so it was a rarity for me to get in. It was a very spiritual, just the door was open, I was able to go, I got the training, and then I ended up coming back for dance. Instead, just due to some circumstances, I was going to take a year off, and I fell in love with it. And then a nice young man, Paul Wilfong, who was very dear, close, love of mine, supported me in many different ways, and then ended up taking his own life right before Thanksgiving. We had like a dinner, and then he went home and he ended up taking his own life. And it's always been such a hard, it's been the hardest, one of the harder losses of my life. And it's 11/11, as I said that, of my life on the podcast. I just saw 11/11. And I started seeing 11/11. It's so crazy. That's very spiritual and powerful as I'm recording. I started seeing 11/11 in January after he passed on. And I think that was January of 2004. And he passed away in 2003 during Thanksgiving. And that is just... It's just always felt like that was one of the reasons also, because I wasn't going to stay at the dance school. You know what I mean? I was an actor and I was just going to go there for that moment. And I had re-auditioned for CalArts, gotten back in. More money was coming. There was no reason for me not to go on my trajectory of being an actor of all my life, what I've been doing. And I came home. And there was a voice message on my answering machine. I had been understudying for Make Your Mother Proud. There was this Lamone piece. I can't remember the title, but that was the song. It was a live band on stage with us at the Stevens Center in Winston-Salem. And we were doing it. Sean Sullivan had choreographed it. We were doing it, this piece. And I was doing the understudy for it. I was my freshman year. And we had been studying this dance piece for weeks and weeks and weeks and learning in our bodies. And then all of a sudden, the band came from New York. And now it's live music instead of recordings. And there's on stage with us. It was all mind-blowing. And all of these things were happening. And I was getting deeper into this discipline. But right before that, I was dealing with this grave loss. And just question after question as to what I could have said to Paul. What I could have done. I had asked him all these questions about dance and about all these things. We were connecting. And then just to have that loss, and it was very, very, very traumatizing for me. And I did get therapy at the school and help and all that stuff for it. But it was a very challenging time for me. And for all of us, the whole dance department at UNCSA, shout out to all you Brenda Daniels and Trish and Sean and Diane Markham. And, you know, you guys are amazing. And it was a challenging time for us. Even Camille Brown came and she sat, Camille A. Brown came and she sat a piece on Paul, about Paul, that I was in. And those are all things, all of these stories, all of these things, me going to UNCSA, me getting my training within dance, me choosing this tightrope of like, okay, well, if I'm going to be in this male role, then I'm going to be a dancer, I guess, because then I could do that. And this feels comfortable and safe. And, you know, also it's artistic. And, you know, like I could have been anything I wanted to be. But I was a dancer. I was an actor. I was a singer. A model. I'm this. This is who I am. You know? And so, why can't I be this? Why can't I be me? What's wrong with me? Right? And there were a lot of trying to find myself within all of these traumas as well, and kind of running away from, because at this point in time, now I'm exploring my sexuality, because once I got to the school, the boys were really kind of into me. They were into me. And I was now had to like learn how to like what does this even mean? Because I was not that type of person that was like standing in the classroom daydreaming about the hot boy in the corner. I was actually like paying attention to the class and taking notes. Like I was really doing that. You know, like I was thinking about my grades and stuff because like, you know, my granddad had instilled inside of me that I need to be something. And like, this is what it is. I was not, you know, maybe in a glance I saw like, oh, his jacket was nice. I was just not there. I was focused on my career, focused on my talents, on my abilities, where I wanted to be in my life, goals, honey. You know, Christianity and the whole fire, brimstone fear of it. And just like, yeah, I'm on this tightrope and I just want to just be good. And just hopefully God's going to give me my, you know, I'll be the Academy, get an Academy Award, you know, for best cis male role in a lifetime. And so when I lost Paul and I was doing this understudy, I came home from this rehearsal and there was a voice message on my answering machine. And it was Fran Bennett, the Dean of CalArts, beautiful black girl magic. And I think she's in like Naked Gun 33 and the third or something, like their second, 22 in the second at the end or something, something like that. She left a message and she was very stern in her message. And it was like, is this gonna be like last year? You auditioned again in Palmer House. You came back to Chicago and you got back in. We have this money for you. And you have missed the deadline for the financial aid to come. Are you serious about coming? We have people on the wait list. And I'm listening to this message and tears are welling up in my eyes and I'm listening to the message and this is my whole dream of life. I am an actor and I want to go to California. My mom wasn't really supporting that. She didn't want me to go all the way out there on my own. She didn't feel like I was ready for that. She was very concerned about that. And I think she kind of secretly, something happened with my FAFSA and it just things end up just catapulting me in a different way, Jupiter, which was very beneficial for me, right? My mom is a Sag. And so I just had to sit there and decide, what am I doing here? Okay, as an actor, I can be an actor until I'm 91 years old, but as a dancer, my hips are going to give out if I don't. I need to capitalize on my technique now. I need to think about what's now. I need to decide, oh, the community of people that I'm working with now, the feelings now, and Paul died, and this and the other. All of these things were building up to the accumulation of my emotional intelligence, A, and the courage to stay in something that I was uncomfortable with. To stay in something that I wasn't as good at. I knew I was a good actor. I knew I was skilled at what I was crafted at doing. I had a lot of actors who are higher up, amazing teachers who were supporting that within me. But dance was something that was different. I was getting embarrassed a lot. I was running into people. These people have been dancing since they were like 5 years old. And I came in at 17. And I had the facility for it. But at that time... And then I had an amazing teacher named Diane Markham. And she saw what it was. Kind of like a situation that I'm gone through with the transitioning. Now I can relate to it. Actually, it's exactly the same kind of thing because it's a rebirth. She saw what it was. She saw that I was kind of too cautious about the concerns of others while I was going across the stage. I needed to find my space and stay in it. I needed to know what the lines were and what the choreography was, and I needed to deliver. And so she embarrassed me over and over and over and over. Until it didn't mean anything. I wasn't focused on what other people were saying in class. She would literally be like, everybody move out of the way because Gray's got to come across. You know, it was Dale at that time, but, you know, got to come across. And I have to learn how to spot. And I'm spotting and I'm going in circles. I'm getting dizzy and I'm going on a diagonal and I'm running. Oh, bam. And it's embarrassing and it's shameful because I was changing my identity from being an actor to a dancer. We're talking about identity shifts here, people. And it didn't feel good. And it was a small class. It wasn't like a whole bunch of people. It was like 13 of us that were spending hours and hours and hours together for 4 years, pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, it was very disciplined. And we're getting guest artist people to come in. And, like, from Doug Marone and Mark Morris and this, that, and the other. And we're learning. And we excel. And I excelled. And I became one of the number one dancers by the end. And I graduated with a degree. The first person in my family to get a degree. And I moved to New York at 21 on my own. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, would I look with my mom? She let me just go at 21. Could I do that? My child, she already trusted because she had already instilled inside of me. I had been working at 13. I was doing APAC, and then I was working at CarMax Cinema, and then I had a car, and then I was paying car note insurance, and I was giving her money for rent. All of these little steps of living in her house by the time I left at 17 to never really return until 17 years later. I did visit, but I mean really return, like really stay for like a month or something, you know, not just like a little vacation for the weekend. So then when I was in school, she came and she supported everything because she saw the dancing, and that was what fueled us. We always had this emotional intelligence between the two of us. And part of that all rounds out to the understanding of the roles that I was coming into. And then when I moved to New York with $675 in my pocket, after I had just gotten hired by Brenda Daniels to do Cunningham and American Dance Festival, like 4 hours for like $300 or $400 worth of money, which was amazing. And I felt that. I felt that professionalism. I just got my degree. And then immediately I got hired by the dean. And then I went to another city and danced there. And I got paid some good money for it. All that happened a week after I graduated. It was like, boom, we want you right now. This is what it should feel like. I want you to have the feeling. And I had it and I understood. And I was confident. And I am confident. And it's those types of things. Those were women in my life that were instilling those types of things and those strengths inside of me, which is why it's so important as women to support each other, not tear each other down, and not be pick-me's as well, which is what I like to call. You know what pick-me's are? When it's like, pick me, you want that male to pick you, so you're pulling the other girl down. Right? You don't have to do any of that. If he wants to be with you, he will be with you. And so, getting back to the whole point of if you guys were paying attention to the first part, I said this is all about transitioning and identity. And so all of that uncomfortableness caused me to realize that I did want to do dance. And I just left a message and I just told her, you know, this is what I have to do. And I went on and I did that. And now I'm in this place in my life where I'm transitioning after this eclipse that happened in 2020. If you are following astrologically, I have a tropical sun in Leo and a moon in Cancer. The Cancer moon is domicile. The Leo sun is domicile. And my Mercury in Virgo is also domicile. They're all at home. And air on the rising can be considered domicile as well. And I have Gemini rising. And Mars is domicile in Scorpio because it used to be the old ruler. So there's a lot of energy that just is naturally where it's at home, where it's just literally like, this is what it is. I feel good. I feel good in my skin. This is what I'm doing. That's why I keep saying in my transition, I feel like I'm growing up. I feel like I'm growing up. That's what I feel like I'm doing. I don't fantasize about having a lot of surgeries and doing a lot of different things. I feel like I will naturally see how God will give it to me, what the progression is to be, you know? But I feel like I'm growing up. It was like a hormonal imbalance within myself. And we'll get to that purpose. But first, let's get back to the realization that I was having a baby. So if you were in part one at the beginning, when I was talking about my transition, I said, I had a dream that I had a baby and the baby was me. And that realization is the new birth of the subconscious. I was watching something with Trump. And he was talking about how trans black lives don't matter, basically. Okay, you know, it was like just a mess. And some Republican, just whatever, hoopla. And that's not to downplay the Republican Party as much as it is to downplay Trump himself and just, you know, his lack of professionalism, his presidency, and everything about, like, just his official campaign and his 4 years in that office, okay? That's just the angst of it. I really just stopped paying attention to the news for all 4 years, literally, okay? And, like, in June, it was during Pride. We weren't having a Pride because he took that away from us. George Floyd has happened. COVID has happened. Breonna Taylor has happened. I am having this epiphany about the baby thing. I saw a beautiful black trans woman talking politics about rights. And she had her cute little, like, stylized bang haircut. And she had, you know, a little bit more stocky up in her chest area. But she was beautiful. She was, you know, she was strong and she was beautiful. And she was talking and she was just like, we just want the same rights as everyone else. And we just deserve equality. And it just was so simple. Mm-hmm. Everything that's simple isn't easy. It's just simple. If you're hungry, eat. If you're alone, be around someone. If you're sleeping, get up. If you're poor, get rich. You might spend a whole lifetime getting rich. It's simple to know what you need to do, but doing it. If you're single, get married. The understanding of all the steps to get married, all the steps that you have to have inside to balance out with another person, soul-wise, not just physically. There's a lot of things that come into play with this rebirth. That it was during an eclipse. It was like the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, is around that period of time. And with that Cancer moon and that Leo sun, it literally just overlaid itself. And I had this epiphany that I needed to transition, that was what it was. And that I have been doing this to myself. I was in a prison in myself. And I saw so clearly through the trajectory of my childhood, which I explained in more detail in part one, why I kind of had been doing this. And then I called my parents. I didn't want to talk to my roommate. I didn't want to talk to my ex-lovers. I didn't want to talk to my auntie, or I didn't want to talk to my coworker or my best friend. I wanted to talk to my parents. The people who created me. And I thought, okay, you got to call your mom, because I have a really good relationship with my mom. And we didn't for a long time. For like 8 years, we fell off. And that's a whole nother podcast because, you know, but we got on, and she's like my best friend. She's one of my best friends in the world. Really just one of my best friends. I love her so much. I talk almost every day. I love her. I called her. And she didn't pick up. And that wasn't like her, because it was around 10. 10 is usually an easy time to reach her. And she didn't pick up the phone. And I think she was in an appointment or something. And it made me think that I have another parent. And it was only God, because I would not have called my father if my mother had not picked up the phone. I actually really was just like, even if I wanted to talk to him, I might not have done it. You know what I mean? I was just really wanting to talk to my mom, right? And she didn't pick up. But I realized in that moment, so spiritually and deep within myself, I needed this. This was something so raw inside me. And I needed my parents to see and to talk and to see me, like, and to understand this. And I called my father and he picked up the phone. I said, hi, Dad, because me and my dad are good. You know, you think that we are, you know, there's something that my dad is very proud of me. He loves me. Everything's easy peasy. It's not that. It's his own guilt and choices and separations and principalities that keep us from being close. But we love each other. And so he picked up the phone And I told him, oh, I want to transition. I want to do these things. And I explained to him how first, through the nonprofit organization, which is more of the business side of things, because that's how men relate to things. I'm like, I want to do this nonprofit organization. It's going to help these people in the community, this and the other. And this is where it's coming from. I am a woman. I have always been a woman. Whoa, man. And so then my mother called, and I put us all on three-way phone call. And that was the first time in my entire life that we all talked on the phone together. Ever. And I was 36, 35 at the time, which is crazy because I always thought that I was fatalistic when I was young. I always thought I was gonna like die at 35. I never really saw life after 35. Really, just artists, we kind of do crazy, sick things like that in our heads. But I really just never thought, and that's so crazy because there was a part of me that died, and there was a phoenix rebirth. So there was a death. It was almost prolific or prophetic. So I talked to them in this triangle effecta, and we shared. And that intimacy and in that love and in that beauty and in that realness. And I got everything that I needed. I got all the answers that I needed from my parents in that moment with them, with God, with the awareness, with the self, with the energy that I can just make this choice. That I had all these trajectories on myself for no reason. Why am I trying to play into a game that I would never win? I knew nothing about it at all. All I knew was myself and my choices. And my choices said it's not black and white, it's gray. Girls really are yearning. And that two-spirit nature inside of me, which is naturally Native American and native to this land and beyond the colonization of these white people who came over here and decided to rape and pillage this land, my land. This is actually what the truth is. And so, because I'm the black stuff and you're the polka dots on top of me, and you decided to build the monopoly board on top of me, there are energies because the Native Americans, they were begetting with all the new people that were coming in, but also with the slaves and also with each other. And like, so that spirit, that energy, that soul, the trail of tears, all of this that's going on, the awareness of what happened to the land of the people who were just connected to spirit and were like, what are you talking about? Own the land. Like, it's here and we're part of it. What are you talking about? You think the only people and savages, people living thing like you, right? Like totally. Pocahontas. I had a whole past life kind of experience with her. We'll get it. That's another podcast. Stay tuned with Moon Talk Radio. But this whole understanding of the two-spirit nature that was always innately inside of me, which is why in this identity transition now, because spiritually everything is aligned, I cannot be thrown off with what God has given me to give the people. Because there has been a curse or a misunderstanding or something on the land, spell, whatever you want to call it, that God cannot love you for you. And God can love you for you. Think about the most kind and sweetest thing that you have done to the most repulsive person that you know. And multiply that by like a trillion, and you still aren't getting close to what God can, like the love that He could really have for you. So we do create these prisons inside of ourselves, and then we give it over to God. And then it's just about living that life afterwards. And no, you're not perfect. I say curse words, I do all kind of stuff, but oh Lord, forgive me, I move on. I keep my heart light. I don't allow other energies to toxify my truth, my heart and what I know my purpose is and what I can do here with Gray in the perspective of myself, my love of self. And it was my love of self that caused me to realize that I had been in a prison for so long. And this is why I wasn't even as a cis, the Academy Award cis male role, I really wasn't, I was getting things for attention, but I wasn't in relationships and I wasn't being very sexual, actually, considering how much people would think that I would be. I just was very more focused and a lower kind of energy with sex drive because I needed to connect. I need to connect. Connecting is more of what I need. With Gemini rising and you find out what you need even within yourself and your natal chart. I'm so mental. So making love in the mind and knowing how your mind works and liking how your mind works is very a part of what turns me on and what is attractive for me. And so through this understanding of the confession of my truth, I got health insurance, which I was like giving you New York no health insurance for a minute, okay, for as the artist life. And then I went, and it was like July, my doctor said July 9th, because she found out she was, no, July 10th, because she found out she was pregnant July 9th, and she didn't confess that to me until a month later, my doctor, my transition doctor, Dr. Kelly, a woman. And I went in, and I talked to her about just things that on my body, myself, and what I was feeling. And you know, we describe it, and it needs to be more seen in the same type of awareness. Because people are seeing this kind of sexual transition as Platonian constantly. And it's like, any transition is either this or that within its context. But the spirit that lives within it, you are you. You know, and so for me, it could be like a hormonal imbalance kind of thing as a growing up kind of thing. Just like if you're bipolar, you can live your life being bipolar, but you should probably be medicated. You should probably do things to help yourself. It's like borderline personality and different types of psychosis. You know, there are a lot of things that have happened to us. I feel like naturally I would have produced a natural hormonal balance for myself if I didn't feel the pressures of society. The truth is, I wanted to be a mom. And I never admitted that to myself, that if I had to have children and I couldn't be a mom, that I wasn't going to have them. I never wanted to have children. And they would always be like, my mom would always be like, you know, you sure? And I'm like, no, maybe I'll adopt a kid, like a killer Asian baby or something when I get older. And that was our joke, that I would adopt. And she would say that. She was like, oh, well, dad's going to die, you know? That was my context with it. Oh, I'll put it over there. Like, everybody's going to have a mental breakdown when they're 40 or whatever. What they say? Midlife break or whatever at 40 and they get the Corvette? I was like, I'm going to get a baby. And that was my joke to myself. I'll adopt a baby and I'll just help a baby. And that'll be that part of my life. And I'll be in that context of growing up. Because that was what growing up was for me. Like, oh, I'll do something over there like in that. But it's over there. Because right now, I have to work on my career and I have to do this. And everything is focusing on this. And I can't allow myself to love something that hard, that much. If you pay attention to part one, I talk about how I treated my stuffed animals. So you imagine how I would treat a baby. It would be my whole life, just like a woman. It would be her whole life. And so I'd have to give up my career and everything I want to do, a career and dancing and da-da, New York, to make a baby and da-da. And that's how I just naturally felt. But really, if you think about it, even in the context of the Lilith and the Adam and the Eve, and this is kind of deeper, but even without Eve, Lilith and Eve are there and possibly could reproduce if Lilith had a penis. Okay, if she had both the breast and the penis, and that concept was possible. It's just something to stretch your mind with when you try to keep God in a box. That's all. Because a triangle is a circle is a line. And you're either spiraling up or you're spiraling down. And these, okay? And these are the concepts. We work our life in circles. So even if we were done with that masculine toxic energy, Lilith's there. And maybe you can reproduce with Lilith, Eve's thinking, when she's done with that toxic thing, you know? You know, and it's just like, that's a perspective that no one's really thinking of that's behind the veil, because the eye of the man is at the top of the pyramid, but woe man is two syllables at the bottom. It's a triangle, and woe man could be whispering things that the man can't see. Emotional intelligence. Women are emotional intelligence. And then if you think about this idea, which is a whole nother concept that we'll get into, of Pangea and coming over from Africa. Oh, and you've got that type of woman there. Oh, well, we've got a two-spirited woman here. Yeah, we call him kind of like a shaman. This is a girl. This is what we do with it. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. She got a big clit too. Okay. Because you got to think about these systems that we are built upon. And if I have a baby with a woman, and the system says that she's the mom and I'm not the mom, then all of the rights go to Eve. All of the rights go to Eve. But what if they both love the babies all equally the same and everything? And that baby's it's almost like a Mrs. Doubtfire, you remember? And he was just like, he missed his kids so much. And Robin Williams is born only 5 days before me. He's like July 21st, astrologically. So that Cancer son, and I'm right there at the beginning of the Leo, and those are the parents, Cancer and Leo. Cancer and Leo are the parents. So it's just talking about the emotional intelligence of being able to love beyond your own emotional ego, beyond yourself even. When you know, that sense of like looking at something like, oh, okay, oh, this is why it's that. These are the things that's that. Even in yourself and giving yourself that room, like it's not black and white, it's gray. And so these are all the things that have led up to why this is so important to me within the community, and what I want to eventually do also with this whole, with the podcast, and with this story that I'm specific with Gray, part one and part two. That's all like sirloin, not lettuce, even though I'm vegetarian, pescatarian. For a musical or for a story or for a movie or for whatever. And those things are for a children's book. I mean, you could really just make it come down to something simple and small. 15 pages of a colored children's book that you could be like, it's not black and white, it's gray. Like, some of this stuff is so Plutonian because I have Pluto in Libra at 29 degrees tropically. So that's the whole house of Libra. And Libra wants to relate. Oh, you do it this way? Oh, I do it that way. Well, Scorpio is talking about I don't want to relate because I act this way for a reason. Like, Libra gets hurt. So it's like a seesaw. Libra is the saw. We're on the scale. We're going up and down and we're playing on the scale. And everybody's playing and everybody gets to go up and down. But you don't want to go up and down. You're sitting and my legs are dangling at the top and I'm stuck. And so Plutonianly, it's like, okay, we're not relating here because you don't want to, or it's not, you think it's black and white. No, it's got to be all these levels in between too. And you've got to look at the privileges of society in different ways that these things affect. There's beauty privileges, there's white privilege, there's American privilege, there's all kinds of privilege, masculine privilege. You know, and all these different concepts are really the dawning of Aquarius to be able to relate to each other better, to be able to make things better for everybody. But you've got to see institutionally why these systems are this way, why the cops were this way. Literally, the FBI Investigation Bureau was invented or created, I think, on my birthday. Literally, July 26th. Look it up. I'm pretty sure. Okay. 44 is my number of affirmation as well. It's 44 minutes. So, you know, that whole thing with Black Lives Matter, they matter, you know? So now we're getting into a deeper context of why Black Lives Matter. Okay, 44 minutes and 44 seconds, which is my number of affirmation. Black Lives Matter, I use the analogy Black Lives Matter because it's like if the body's bleeding out, you've got to apply pressure. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if the whole body's bleeding out, we've got to nurse this wound. I know the finger's not cut. And I know the knee, yeah, okay, it's got that little sore from scratch from yesterday. But right now, we're literally bleeding out right here, right now. And that's kind of like the same concept. Like if you call 911 and the fireman comes and he starts spraying your neighbor's house and cleaning your neighbor's house with a hose and your house burns down. But your house needed the fire. You know, they didn't even ask for the fire truck, but they came over and they got sprayed on it anyway. And they're like, oh wow, somebody's cleaning our house. This is great. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of concepts. And part of this is systematic as well. And we'll get into deeper reasons on other podcasts as to how they play into that and keep minorities set up against each other and keep black on black crime. And all of these things are relative to Moon Talk Radio. If you're interested, please, please support. Please subscribe. I have an IG. It's moontalk.radio. I have a YouTube. It's Moon Talk Radio. Right now, I don't have a lot on there. I'm going to be revamping the channel. We're going to be rebuilding it. But I'm very excited about where this platform is going. I have a co-founder as well, like I said before, in part one, I think. Her name is Carmen Avila. Formerly Diego Avila Ortiz, who was my love of my life, Twin Flame Energy. And now we have built this business together and we're nursing this baby. I live over here in New York and she lives over in California. And there is this new understanding through the two-spirit nature of the land. She's Native American, Mexican American. I'm Native American, African American. We're American. We're the spirit of America. And these pillars are tall and they're growing up to stand in his truth and say, God can love you for you. And if you want to be committed to somebody under God, he's going to honor that. If God is love, 1 John, and is saying that he's love, God is love, and you're holding hands with someone and you love each other and you're in love, you're in God, it's a circle around you. Like, remove the stone and you will find me, okay? I can go on and on and on. So if you really want to relate and you want to understand some of the deeper historic things of what drive you, and even astrology is like the secret map of the heavens and of God, if you want to understand planets sincerely, if you are curious and you want to know, and you don't have to be afraid to open up yourself and realize that your belief system is still your belief system and is not contradicting with your belief system, just like an atom isn't contradicting with the cell and the cell isn't contradicting with the organ, and the organs aren't contradicting with the organ tissues, and the organ tissues aren't contradicting with the organ systems, and then it's your body, and then your body's next to my body, and then it's two bodies in this room, and then this room has next to this room, and then there's this house, but then your house is over there, and then this city, and then this city, but then it's that city, but then it's this state, but then this state was in this country, but this country was in this continent, this continent's in this world, and it's that Men in Black moment where you're here, come the Men in Black, and you're pulling out to let you know, just like when you cut a tree and you see those rings, oh, this is a big ring and this is a little ring and this is a darker ring and this is a wider ring and this is a thinner ring. Like, it's trying to cut you down to it and seeing that all of that is just part of the story. All of that is you. None of that is interfering with itself. And learning it doesn't have to hurt. Doesn't have to hurt, you know? And so I've been kind of giving that to the community more and more and more, that it doesn't have to be some scary moment of fear, because that is what it is. You want to control. And there have been a lot of lives that have died from your misunderstandings, innocent lives. It's time to feel that conviction and to understand that you have to look at somebody inside. You without sin cast the first stone. You're just afraid that some woman's going to come along, if another woman is afraid that another woman's going to come along regardless, and take her man, he was never hers. That's just crazy, you know? So that's, you need to understand your relationships, even in the LGBTQ community, which is why I'm here. A lot of you don't understand a lesbian is that. She's lesbian. She really doesn't want to be called gay because being gay is something different. Lesbians actually look at gay men a lot of times like, ew. You're like, oh, like they're promiscuous and stuff, and they'd be out drinking and doing all kind of mess and fooling around in cars like men do because they're Mars. They're Mars. They want to arm wrestle and F and just do stuff. And yeah, I want it. And dick get hard and I see it. And that's masculine energy naturally. A woman's going to be fine. She might be a lipstick lesbian. They might both be lipstick lesbians playing patty cake and talking sex talk and ready to move in with each other right away. Because that's a lesbian. It's something different than being gay. And then being bi is like, I like them both. Okay, if you like them both, what does that mean if you like them both? Do you have to have them both? Can you commit to one? Does there have to be some type of scale and understanding with that? If we get married even, there has to be agreement and understanding of respect. It's always about respect. And God can honor your, whatever your systems are. Y'all be playing God, you know? It's like, I really think people be playing God. Like your baby spoons feeding him. Like he's dumber than you somehow. Like you parented him, you gave birth to God somehow. It's just crazy. And a lot of that comes from your fear of your programming. But it takes a courageous person to question what they believe, whatever it is. Sit there and really feel it, because that's usually what's bothering you anyway. You know what I mean? I'm not in line with what I believe, or I am in line with what I believe, so I feel good and empowered spiritually. Because nothing can exist in fire. Fire kills everything. It burns everything. It burns it. The awareness, it burns it. Sun and Leo. Cancer moon, deepest depth. And it's like getting really close to the sun and just knowing and just feeling the truth for what it is. God can love you. He could take you in whenever you're ready. That's literally it. Whenever you want to accept that he can love you. And that you spend your life I didn't want to believe that I could be delivered. I didn't believe. I wasn't a believer. And then I got punished right away. For trying even, for even going through the transition. But I never stopped. I never stopped because I know who I am. And I know how I've always been. And I know what I believed and what I couldn't believe. And God can do all things. He works in miraculous ways. And the devil, of course, will be always upset with those concepts. It's like, people are like, yeah. I always used to say, I don't do magic, I am magic, right? There's that understanding that I know that I am this example. And so now, because of being this example, I'm here to give you guys this podcast to talk about those tough, uncomfortable things sometimes, or those questions. And it's really like you're by yourself most of the time, or you're with your lover, you're in your home, it's COVID life right now. It's pretty easy time to sit and just kind of think for yourself and kind of get your systems together and kind of check yourself. Because you're getting to that place where you actually are a new slave and you don't understand that you are. When you feel like you're going to get emotionally offended by somebody who said something to you on social media that you don't even know. You got all these likes, or you don't got all these likes, and you post this photo up, and then if it don't get 20 likes in 20 minutes, then, oh no, nobody likes you, and now you're suffering from low self-esteem because no one liked your Instagram, and you don't have any friends, and why do they have all these pictures that look fabulous, and I wish I had the lighting that they had in their room, and their boyfriend looks great, I wish I had their boyfriend, and I mean, you just really are killing yourself constantly. You're constantly stabbing yourself with these illusions, because they are going through something too. But you're not seeing the things that they go through because they're not posting them. And then you have those people who do that too. This is what I'm going through. And they're known for that. And that's how they get attention. Oh my goodness, did you hear what they're going through now, girl? Okay. It's just something to think about. what drives you, what drives us, and why you keep trying to high five but missing. Right? Because I haven't had a lot of serious relationships, but the relationships that I have had in my life have been wonderful. Call them. Call them right now and ask them. That's that. That confidence, the understanding, everything that I've given to them. And that's because of spirit. It's a spiritual thing. My first love was my first love. I was his first and he was my first within that concept. He had always dated women and I had never had a man penetrate me. And I had prayed and waited and I had asked God spiritually for it. And it just appeared at work one day as the new host. And we started dating off and on for years and lived together and got cats and played house and fell in love and all that. And all that jazz, real stuff. And he was born one day after me, July 27th, my grandmother's birthday. I just saw 5544. It's about the connection, about the reality and the respect. And I would look him in his eyes all the time, ladies. And I'd be like, you know, it ain't never, you know, they ain't treating you like this. And he knew it and I knew it and it was known. And those are my relationships, honey. And I was cooking and cleaning and taking care of cats and doing all this stuff. And he was coming home with bottles of wine and we was laying together and on the head of my lap and we watching funny films and being regular people who commit to each other and love each other and build a family and are normal and are human and are real. And the same thing happened with Carmen, who works here on Moon Talk now and literally came and got me from New York, and I moved to California 3,000 miles away, and I'm building a life there with no hopes of really coming back without her, especially, which she was him at that time. We were both in cis male roles at the time, Diego and Dale. Now Gray Dale and Carmen Avila, you know? And here to share these awarenesses and these understandings and the healing from it even, the sabotage of our relationship and the rebirth of it, in order to bring the clarity of what it is even. It's beautiful. It's spiritual. It's lovely. It's chaste. I still feel very adored and connected to her, to him, to they, and they to me, to her, to him, to they. And I want to build a new love and a new relationship with someone in my life. But I understand also the gratitude of what I experienced. And they do too. And that's what it means to be in love. Some of you are not in love. And you've been cheated of that in so many ways. And I'm just here to give you that message that it's not black and white, it's gray. And it has to do with the law of attraction and respect. And God can give you that back. Because in the tarot, it's the devil card versus the lover's card. The devil card is a disconnect and the lover's card is a connection. And you can be doing the same thing with the same person for the rest of your life. But if you get disconnected, it's going to feel like a prison. And if you feel connected, it's going to feel like heaven. And that's what that is. They're just understandings and they come through the emotional intelligence of yourself and dealing with yourself and understanding yourself and not trying to put all of your angst on someone else, but resolving those deeper core transitioning of your life. And we transition identities a lot, you know, from high school to college to the workforce to getting married. Everybody, they try to transition in different ways. Mine are just on my sleeve. So I just want to encourage you to be encouraged in God and just to know that I'm here and hopefully support me, donate to my causes, listen, like, subscribe. I'll be posting these on some of the greater platforms as well, Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like that. And I look forward to connecting with you guys, sending love and light. Okay? This is Gray Dale Martez Harris with Moon Talk Radio signing off. Cause what? Because girls really are yearning. And right now, I'm yearning for a sandwich or something. Okay, bye.